Welcome to Talking Baseball. The Dodgers-Red Sox trade is official. It's a little different, too. Twins and Rays also making some moves. Let's do it. Let's talk some baseball. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Talking Baseball. It is a fine Monday morning, February 10th, and we had some action last night. Feel like it's a bit of deja vu because we're talking about the same teams and the same players, but it's different, Jake. It's different. My name is John Boy. I'm coming to you from John Boy Media Headquarters in the Bronx, and I've got my good pal Jake coming to you from Denver, Colorado, and a quick couple announcements, Jake, we have to do before we start the show. Will you allow me these?
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jake. This episode is brought to you by Dalton Hines, Lily, Kevin DeMauro, Sean McCray, Brady Justice, hell yeah, Sean Riley, Tom, and Gary Burkhart. No D. Sometimes there's a D before the T in Burkhart. No D, just hard H-A-R-T to the point. I like that, Gary. Those are our most recent Patreons. And another announcement. We are retooling our Patreon. Someone's taking it over. I posted on there last night a little behind-the-scenes outtake that I wasn't allowed to post on the main channel and let everyone know that we're going to have someone take it over. We're going to try and do some behind-the-scenes like quick hitter Q&A, behind-the-scenes office stuff, some giveaways. Trying to get way more involved because we want to give back to the people that support us. You also get to sponsor an episode. You get your name shouted out at the beginning. And you get live access to be in the chat as we record. If you want to do that, we got Buck Johnson and Chris Ferry in here. And a lot of times people that are in the live chat actually help out and enhance the show because they help research some stuff. Are you ready for announcement number two, Jake?
Yeah, I think was that okay. I thought we were already on announcement number
Okay,
two.
Are you ready for announcement number three, Jake?
I'm ready for announcement number three.
An episode a day, every day, starts today.
Keeps the doctor away. Oh.
Same.
Okay.
You can do
same
both.
But different. Just like the trade. Same but different.
Yes, yes, yes. No, our mini episodes start tomorrow, and those are the start of an episode a day. It just so happens that it starts on a Tuesday, and we record on Mondays, so we're here. There will be an episode of Talking Baseball every day until opening day. That's a fuck ton of episodes. I hope you guys enjoy it. We've been doing the team previews. We've been recording them already. Tomorrow, the first one will drop. They're like max 20 minutes long, so they're really quick. So we'll listen to them at your own pace. You can sit them out, then binge 10 in a row, or you can listen every day. It's up to you. How would you listen, Jake?
Ooh, good question. I'd probably be, I would be a binger. I'd be like, you know what? This trip to the gym is going to be somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour and a half. Let's listen to 1.5 or 5 TPPs, team profile and projections, as they're known in the biz. That's a biz term.
Such a bad name.
I think it's a great name, especially with Trevor Plouffe. I mean, he should lean into that a little bit.
What's Trevor Plouffe's middle name? Is it Paul? It sounds like it should be Paul. Trevor Paul Plouffe.
It's not. It's probably some cool California
name. Oh, no, Patrick. That plays. Patrick. It had to be a P.
TPP.
TPP.
Wow, he's going to be so stoked.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, well, good morning, Jake. How's your weekend?
Good morning, James. My weekend was all right. Snuck a ski day in yesterday, kinda. Ended up at Copper Mountain Gym, and the Dew Tour was there, which is basically as bitchin' as life gets. It's actually pretty cool, but it's more funny to make those jokes. But that was cool. And then did we do anything else, Noodle? No, I think we had a lunch with some friends. No, like sports, right? What did I watch? Oh, I watched a little Duke Carolina, but baseball podcast. So,
and you watched the Oscars.
Oscars, dude, live events. You and I are big live events guys.
I didn't watch any yesterday, so I'm out.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But
Katie doesn't like award shows, so I can't, like, I have to, like, really, really, like, do it to hog the TV from her, so I just didn't.
Right. Well, it's an office event now, so that's not a problem. But, yeah, man, that's about it. How was your freakend?
Good. Boring. I went and saw Little Woman. It was a nice movie. It was delightful.
Okay. Well, that's, you can't say those two things back to back. It's offensive.
No, the movie wasn't boring. It was delightful. I cried once, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Uh-oh, I got to close the window. Hold on.
Close that window. Hold on to that window, baby.
Yeah, I also watched Harriet.
Nice.
Yeah. A lot of singing like that. Wade in the water.
She had a powerful performance at the Oscars.
Nice.
So.
All right, Jake. We did a full impromptu episode with bad equipment and
live.
I ditched Katie to do the trade recap.
Trade of the century.
And that trade didn't happen, but one very similar to it did.
Eerily similar.
Eerily similar. So if you don't remember, the first trade was Mookie Betts and David Price and money going to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers were going to send Alex Verdugo to the Red Sox in return. The Dodgers were going to send Maeda to the Twins, and the Twins were sending Gratterall to the Red Sox. Gratterall, what's that? How you say his name? Brewstar Gratterall?
Brewstar Gratterall.
Yeah, so the Red Sox say they didn't like stuff in his medicals, and they're like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. I mean, more on that later. I don't believe that. And they're like, oh, hold on, this doesn't, well, never mind. We don't want to do this trade anymore because it was agreed upon pending physical, so they still have a way to get out of it. So then Minnesota says, oh, you don't like our guy? Go fuck yourself. We're out of this trade. So then the Red Sox say, okay, well, Dodgers, if you want Mookie, you need to give us more. So now the Twins are out of this trade. It's just a two-team trade, and the Red Sox are giving Price, Mookie, and half of Price's contract to the Dodgers, and they are sending over Verdugo, Jeter Downs, who's a top prospect for them, top five prospect in their organization, and Connor Wong, a catcher.
Yeah.
He's not like a low-level prospect, but he's not top five, right?
No, he's not a huge-time prospect, but he's a catcher with a strong arm and power. So if you can make something of that, you make something of that.
Yeah. Okay, that's one thing. And then the Twins were like, hey, we're still interested in Maeda, Dodgers. Can we just do our own thing too? And the Dodgers like, yeah, you know what? Sure. So they're like, you give us Brewster Gratterall. We'll give you Kenta Maeda. We'll give you $10 million. We'll give you a low-level prospect. And you give us two other guys. So, or a draft pick and a prospect. So the Twins are sending Brewster Gratterall, a draft pick, like a 67th round or something like that, or 67th. I don't know what it was.
67th pick in this year's draft, and Luke Raley.
And Luke Raley prospect. And all right, so that's it. So, and then the Angels and Dodgers trade just isn't happening as of now.
Yeah, so we'll put that on the back burner for sure. And yeah, can you and I have a nice honest conversation? Why are they still calling this a three-way trade?
I didn't see that.
Two-way trades. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone calling it that. I do like that the Twins basically said, fuck you, Red Sox, we'll just do it without you, and did it.
Yeah, so
can we talk about the hang-up before we go on to the new trade? Because I don't believe...
Yes, because it sounds like you've got a conspiracy theory, so I'm here for that.
That makes me not even want to say it, because, like, I don't... Like, that makes it sound crazy off the bat.
You got to say it. You believe it.
It's more like I'm cynical than a conspiracy theory.
Okay, here's a cynical conspiracy theory.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. I don't like it being framed like that. I'm out.
Well, sorry. But I mean, it kind of is. And I think
I'm not the only one thinking it. Like everyone, like,
and that's fine. Then say what people are saying. Say you're not saying it. That's what I do all day.
No, it's just conspiracy theory sucks because then you get like Alex Jones treatment. There was a way, there was still time to get out of this trade, and the Red Sox were getting roasted by other front offices, by everyone in the media and the fans for not getting any top five prospect from the Dodgers. Like there was tweets saying Dodgers top five prospects before the trade, Dodgers top five prospects after the trade, and it's Heim Bloom's first trade as a general manager, and it's just getting roasted, and there's time to get out of it. And I think they used the window and the medicals as that, because like we did the whole thing and you and I were talking about, he's a reliever. He had Tommy John, he had shoulder surgery. The Twins projected him as a reliever. All of baseball projected Bruce Starr Gratterall as a top end reliever. And then the Red Sox were like, oh, we thought he could start. His medicals say different. Did you really? Yeah. Because how could you have thought that when everyone in the baseball world that does this didn't think that? So I think they use their window to get out of it.
Yeah, so a couple things there. So Bruce Starr Gratterall, my guy, and when we did the live show, I kept falling into this, like, he's the kind of the key part of the deal for me. Like, you know what Mookie is. Like, Verdugo should be a good young outfielder for a while. It's Bruce Starr Gratterall because he was a top 100 prospect because he was projected as a starting pitcher. Now, he's had a lot of injuries, and so basically what baseball scouts like to do is if you're that young, that size, and you've had a lot of injuries, there's basically a good chance you're going to end up in the bullpen. There's a chance Bruce Starr Gratterall, he's healthy and he can figure it out and stay a starting pitcher, but the odds are heavily in favor that he goes to the bullpen. Now, the Red Sox, if you and I know this, and yes, we're diving further and further into this world, but by no means do we have what a front office should have knowledge-wise on players. Not even close. And how the Red Sox could fully ignore that and play that card, you're right. And I'm sorry you heard the conspiracy theory word, but there is something there that it's either like, well, you were either dumb on the trade and you had rabbit ears and then you reacted this way, which I don't fully believe that. I mean, I think they knew when they were trading Mookie Betts, they were going to get shat on. I think when Keim Bloom took the job, he that was like one of the requirements, and he knew he was going to get shat on.
But I do think like the top five list was like really shocking. And people were like, how did you not take a top five prospect?
A little bit. But again, that turns into more rabbit ears than real life, because who the Dodgers have listed as their top five prospect could be very different than the Red Sox. Like maybe you have the first two, but the next three could be very different. It's your scouting department. It's do you value tools or whatever. But I don't know. I'll say it has some merit. The injury thing and relief pitcher thing is either you're dumb or maybe the Red Sox really wanted a backdoor alley to get Mookie Betts. Here's my conspiracy theory. The Red Sox knew the Gratterall stuff. They played dumb. Then they did the injury report or whatever it was. And they're like, whoa, I don't know if Bruce Starr can start. And everyone's like, yeah, that was the whole conversation that everyone else knows about. And they say, well, we can't take him. So I guess if you still want Mookie, you're going to have to give us a little better. So I think that's the conspiracy theory people need to be talking about.
Isn't that the same thing? I'm not understanding the difference.
You're saying they got roasted and they made an adjustment. I'm saying they played dumb not knowing about Bruce Starr's injury so then they could have it come up and hold up the trade, and that way the Dodgers are like, fine, just take Jeter Downs. We're over this.
Oh, you think it was like genius by Heim Bloom?
They're playing dumb, yeah. Well, genius and playing dumb is a line I teeter every day.
You don't think possums are geniuses? I think they're geniuses.
It's our number one fighting tactic.
Why would I fight when I can just play dead? You've already killed me.
World War III, I'm possuming the whole time.
Yeah.
And if someone's about to kill you, then maybe at that last moment I try to kill them. But that's
I'm not dead. Bam, now you're dead. It's like, dead. Fuck, bolt didn't work.
Possum.
Trade's better for the Red Sox. They still get Verdugo. And Jeter Downs is like a top prospect. Do you want to make a Jeter joke since the entire internet all made the same joke in the same 5 minutes?
No,
span?
No. I was going to roast those people as well. I mean, come on. Like, stop. There's no wit. There's nothing. There's nothing. I haven't seen a twist yet. I had like a full mean tweet riled up. And you know, this is a tricky area for me because I like the fact that people are trying to make jokes. But if you see the same thing and you're running into a dead wall over and over, there's no creativity. So I was going to do, I don't know, something about Jeter inside of Boston or something like that. But I'm not even getting that creativity. So it's pretty bad. I feel bad for the kid, except a fun fact from our big baby David that helps up with us, that Jeter Downs' brother is in the Red Sox AA, and they'll probably be playing together this year. So that's awesome.
Jerry Downs.
Yeah. So that's cool.
That is cool. What's his position?
That Jeter Downs is going to get these terrible jokes. It's cool he gets to play with his brother. It's a wash.
So Roster Resource, my new favorite website in the history of the world, has Jeter Downs ETA to the majors as 2021. I saw some Red Sox fans thinking that he may get called up in 2020 to help out at second base. He's a shortstop in the minors to help out at second base. Because they kind of have a hole there right now. What's your thoughts?
Red Sox fans are still telling themselves that their team wants to compete in 2020, even though they just traded away a top three player in baseball.
Yeah, I would guess they keep Jeter Downs. I don't know. I guess you got to see.
I mean, if it's the end of the season, he's playing good baseball, call him up. You're going to treat him like any other prospect, but it's not like they're going to rush him up to try to compete. The Red Sox have made this clear, and that's what one of our Red Sox friends whose opinions I respect was like, hey, why didn't we look into, you know, getting Ross Stripling if they're still trying to trade him? And it's because they don't care about this season. And that's still a mental hurdle in the Commonwealth.
Jeter Downs' numbers and minor league numbers mean dick, but Jeter Downs' numbers in Double A, he hasn't even played in Triple A yet, in Tulsa, are pretty good. So there you go.
Nice.
It's 12 games. Looking at a 12-game sample, so my bad.
Okay.
So this dude's only played 12 games in Double A. He's not a key cog of the 2020 Red. I saw some people saying he's going to be in the infield.
No. 2020. No, that's people trying to convince themselves that the Red Sox are up to something, and they're not, guys. But I understand the feeling.
Well, they're set up for like a quick rebuild. They are set up for a quick rebuild.
Oh, absolutely. 2020 is gone. And like, that's not Yankee stuff, even though a 103 win team with the most injuries ever added Gerrit Cole. It's also the Tampa Rays are really good, and Boston won 84 games last year and traded away Mookie Betts, and you don't have pitching. The lineup's going to hit. They're still going to do that, but you're an 84-win team that traded away Mookie Betts and doesn't have any pitching.
There you have it. Well, Connor Wong went to the University of Houston, drafted in the third round, and he has 40 games at Double A, but they're pretty short at catcher.
They love Vasquez. Vasquez had a good year last year.
I know. But he's not good.
Oh.
He is good. He is good. He's just like a light-hitting catcher.
Wow.
I mean, you don't disagree.
He hit really well last year. He had a great year last year.
Did he? What was his stats? What's his first name?
Christian Vasquez.
Am I spelling his last name wrong? Oh, I am. It's a Z. Yeah. It's two Zs. How about that? He had a 103 OPS plus and 798 OPS.
Yeah, 23 home runs. Not bad. That's really good for a catcher.
Yeah, for a catcher, it's good. I wouldn't go bragging about that.
No, and let's see it this year without a juice ball is what I'd say.
Ooh. Anything else? Verdugo, we already did a lot on Verdugo last round. He's got 4 years. Obviously, Jeter Downs and Connor Wong have 6-7 years. And Verdugo's got 4 more. He'll go right into right field, and they will have a weird outfield of Benintendi, JBJ, and Verdugo. Benintendi's kind of on a prove-it year. Hey, are you mediocre or are you slightly above average? JBJ is a fantastic defensive center fielder. Game-changing defensive center fielder. Swings a wet newspaper when he steps into the box. And Verdugo may be their best outfielder, but he's not Mookie Betts. Interesting outfield.
No, it's that outfield can play defense. I mean, Verdugo has a background as a center fielder himself. Benintendi plays good defense. They're going to play good defense. It's going to be interesting to see how much of the real deal is Verdugo. And yeah, Benny's bounce back. I mean, you know what you're getting in JBJ, and they Boston made their decision on that. I think they had a chance to move on from him this offseason, and they chose not to. So
he's a good defender.
An amazing defender.
All right, I want to talk about the Dodgers side of things a little bit. Nothing's changed Dodgers on their end. They get Mookie for 1 year. He's fantastic.
All those deep track Dodger Jeter down fans are kicking themselves today, but that's about it.
No, I mean, listen, the Dodgers have been in the World Series three times.
Twice.
They weren't last year. In the last couple of years. And their window's still here. It's still going strong, but they need to attack it every year. So I think they are doing good. Get Mookie if you can. Price will also help them in their rotation. And what those two guys do, and they get half of Price's contract paid for. But
yeah, I think Price is $16 million a year now or something like that for the Dodgers.
So they could have kept Maeda if they wanted to. His contract is pretty good, and his contract is so incentive laden for if he starts. So if they wanted to keep Kenta and put him in the bullpen, it's pretty cheap, Jake. But I think they just feel mean doing that because he really wants to start. The contract like screws him over money wise, and the Twins are searching for a starting pitcher. So I kind of think that this trade is done in niceness. Like, the Dodgers are being nice to Kenta, and they're getting, like, if they see Kenta as a reliever, Brustar Graterol, and they see him like, hey, he's a little less than Kenta, but he can become him, and the money's the same. But I do think this is a kindness trade.
Ooh, interesting. I didn't see that angle coming into it. I think we've got a couple fun things here. I think the Maeda contract, I think the Twins still needed pitching and they wanted Maeda. So that's what they were doing. They clearly said, fuck the Red Sox after the Brustar stuff. And that's fine. And they should have because they possumed. But Brustar, he was in the original fake trade. He was my favorite part in this because it was how good is he going to be? Is he going to be the high end starting pitcher Boston fake thought he was going to be, or is he going to be a high-end reliever of sorts? Now the Dodgers go out and they say, you know what? Fuck it. We'll take Brustar. I hope Brustar's dirty for them. Like, talk about, you know, there's been some egg on Kimbloom's face. Oh my God, get a napkin. But if Brustar Graterol ends up being a really good reliever, I mean, if he were to stumble into the Dodgers closer job, even in like 3 years or something, that's such a familiar name. It would drive Red Sox fans insane. So I think that's a fun twist. And yeah, I don't know. We went through the Dodgers pitching. They still would have started Maeda this year. I think he's still ahead of like Gonsolin or Catterday.
I was in some Dodger fan places and they were saying that they didn't think he would. So I don't know.
And I don't know. I mean, he's got the performance incentive type contract.
Can we go through it?
Guy.
You sure. know, I love performance I incentive contracts and I was not aware of this one. It's crazy, Jake. It's fucking nuts. All right. So first off, and I want to say this one right away. When Maeda signed this contract, this was one of the incentives. If Kenta Maeda gets traded, he receives a $1 million bonus.
Boom.
He got that. So dude just made $1 million just for getting traded. So imagine if he thinks he's making $1 million and the trade doesn't go through. His wife's like, he's like, honey, we're getting $1 million.
Spent it. Spent.
He gets 150 grand each year for making the opening day active 25-man roster.
Perfect.
He receives $1 million for each of the starts between 15 and 20. So once he makes his 15th start of the season, $1 million, 16 start, $1 million, 17 start, $1 million, and so on. $1.5 million for every start between 25 and 30.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no, $1.5 million for if he gets 25 starts, he gets $1.5 million. If he gets 30, he gets $1.5 million. If he gets 32, he gets $1.5 million. And he will earn, each year, he will earn $250,000, quarter of a million, for each of 90 innings, 100 innings, 110, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160, 170, 180, 190 innings, and a 700, and then the 750 grand for 200 innings. This is the most incentive-laden contract I've ever seen.
Yeah, must have been some real fun negotiating.
And then in his press conference, he was like, I've never been injured, so I don't know why we did this.
Seems pretty ridiculous. Yeah, and I don't know. I kind of want to talk to our guy Plouffe a little bit because incentive-laden contracts are awesome because it's like, hey, if you do this, you're going to get paid, but it's also, you know, the MLB player union being the strongest union forever was because players got paid, like Albert Bell. Go look that one up, kids. But yeah, I don't know. Good for Maeda. Now I'm interested to see if the Twins try to mess with them because they've got, you know, a couple pitchers returning from injury and stuff like that.
He only gets
showed out in the bullpen.
He only get. I think the problem with his contract and his agent sucked is the floor is $3 million.
Yeah.
Like if they just put him in the pen and he doesn't accrue any of the starts, any of the innings, it's just $3 million a year. It's like wildly different.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some unspoken back channel agent stuff and MLBPA. Like, yo, you can't do that to Kenta Maeda when he clearly be a starter on your team.
So that's why maybe if the Dodgers think that these young guys are gonna come up and like there's a chance they win the spot from Maeda, then they're like, you know what? Like, we don't want to deal with that mess. The Twins can dig that.
I mean, I like your niceness angle. I like it. I'm not fully buying it.
Also, it's just like the Twins were so mad at the Red Sox. Dodgers were like, whatever. Dodgers have plenty to spend. They're like the banker in Monopoly feeling guilty for the other people at the table.
Twins were so happy to give Brewster Gratterall to the Dodgers.
Yeah. They should have called the Yankees up. You want Gratterall? Rub it in the Red Sox face.
Up all night on Gratterall. Yeah, that
cigarettes and alcohol.
The new MLB PR team missed out on that one.
Yeah. And then I don't know the prospects. Who's the prospect that also is going from the Dodgers?
Yeah, so I guess that is a part of this trade that's kind of getting overlooked in the mainstream media. So they get Luke Fraley, young outfield prospect, because, you know, just what the Dodgers need, more young prospects. And they get the 67th pick in the draft, which, hey, you know, take that as it may. Dude could never reach the major leagues, or he could be an absolute stud. That's how drafts work. There's got insider information. I got to charge more for that on the Patreon.
How do you spell Luke Fraley? I found it.
F-R-A-L-E-Y.
Yeah, no frills there, just a straight-up spelling.
Would you like it more if it was double Y? Like, how would you like that? Or, like, Fairly Dickinson? Where are you going with that?
I had no idea. First I was like, maybe it's E-I-G-H. I had, like, an E-A. It was just very I was looking for a trick, and there's no trick. It's very upfront spelling. Good job, the Fraley family. He's a pitcher, Jake.
Pitcher.
And he has, like, no stats in the minors. He just got drafted out of college, 4 years. Yeah, it looks like
Fraley.
Yeah, it looks like he has no stats in the minors. He just got drafted from Tiflin University.
Tiflin in Ohio. Tiflin.
Cool. Know nothing about you. Don't care.
He was bad in college.
Was he?
Yeah. He had a 5.11 ERA.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a hard, you go pitch in the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference and see how you do.
I literally could not.
Yeah. You don't have any qualifications. You already graduated.
I literally could not.
Well, the only other interesting tidbit from this trade, and I feel like we've done a good job talking all about it.
Sure.
Is that now that trade that we were so confused about originally, because originally it was said it was the Dodgers are trading Jock Peterson to the Angels for Renjifo, and I was like, that makes no sense. There's not a balance to the scale. And they're like, oh, well, actually – Dodgers are also giving Ross Stripling to the Angels. I'm like, okay, and another prospect. I'm like, all right, that makes more sense now. That's just not happening now. I think the Angels were like, maybe they caught backlash, and they were like, fuck this. We're out.
So this goes deeper than this, man. This is rooted, and you have to go into LA-type stuff because we've got some Dodgers big brother-type stuff. Obviously, I mean, they literally were the Anaheim Angels, and then they changed their name to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's just good business, Jake. It's just business.
It's just business. But Artie Moreno, the owner, got fed up that they were just the team on the side of this while the blockbuster was happening, and he pulled the cord on it. And I think it's just Angels 101 on from Ken Rosenthal. So, you know, don't think this is just a dumb Jake theory. Moreno grew impatient and pulled the deal. Might have reviewed, but the Dodgers then saw it unnecessary. Outside chance to be revisited. The Dodgers still need to make a move to get two men off their 40-man roster. But, yeah, I think there was some L.A. Big Brother stuff. We don't care about the big trade. What's going on here? And I think egos got in the way, which I think is a huge mistake because I think Ross Stripling could have been one of the better pitchers on the Angels this year. I think Jock Peterson would have been a huge asset on the Angels this year. And Renjifo, I know you're getting excited about the years game because you do war over years and stuff. Renjifo is their third string second baseman this season. And the Angels' goal is to reach the postseason, get Mike Trout a playoff win. And now what? Now what are you telling Mike Trout by getting too proud about the Dodgers? That, oh, yeah, we thought that another starting pitcher and, you know, a guy that crushes right-handing pitching that could be at the top of our lineup. Yeah, we thought our team needed those, but they held up the trade for a couple days, so we're not going to do it.
Classic, like, little brother. Like, this is being the little brother. Like, we're not your little brother. We're not doing this. And it's like, oh, you're kind of acting like a little brother now.
Yeah.
You're doing it right now.
Right.
Yeah, dude, Stripling would have been nice for them and Jock. But here's the thing, Jake.
Stripling was like a perfect piece for them. Jock was a little bit of a bonus, but he's a bonus piece that has a 900-plus OPS versus right-handed pitching last year. Like, he could have been a key cog in this lineup.
But, Jake, the Dodgers still have to trade some people, right? Like, they were originally doing it to shed some salary. So is Jock on the block right now? Are people shopping and calling? Yeah, he is.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, you haven't seen Yankees Twitter? Yankees Twitter is talking about how good of a fit Jock would be on the Yankees right now.
No, I don't. I have unsubscribed from majority of like that, which is nice.
Yeah. So, and every team's fan base is doing that. I just threw the Yankees fan base under the bus right now. But yes, they are considering moving Jock Peterson. I still don't think they should. I know we just did some salary stuff on the CBA, but man, I mean, if a Jock Peterson, AJ Pollock platoon plus injuries are going to hit this team this year, I mean, you're loaded and your goal is to win the World Series. We just talked about the Angels' goal, which they told Mike Trout that, hey, we need a starting pitcher and another outfielder. Oh, no, we don't, Mike Trout. Just go do it yourself again. My bad. Their team's actually pretty good. I love my Angels. But when you do a takesy backies on a trade like this just to be proud, I don't know. So, yeah, a lot of teams are talking about Jock. I saw our guy, Stripling. We like Petriello, right?
I don't know who that is.
Mike Petriello. He does the.
Oh, yeah. I like him.
Yeah. He had a good tweet. Let me see if I can find it.
I've never said his name. Like, I've only read it. I've never heard it or spoke it. So Petriello didn't ring a bell.
So he said, if the Dodgers can't keep Jock, and he's like, that seems possible, and the Angels are out, he goes, the teams that should want Jock Peterson, 1, Cleveland, 2, Cleveland a billion times more, 3, Texas, move Gallo to center field.
4, oh, my God, Chicago, imagine. Imagine he goes to within the division of the Angels, but they didn't take him because they just didn't want to be the little brother. So they beat the little brother to an extreme, and then then he's within that, division. That's such that a little brother move.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be a Texas coming in as like the weird cousin who kicks the little brother. 4, Chicago White Sox. Mazzara's there, but he's not a blocker. The Rockies. St. Louis/Chicago, maybe. And then 7, he said, still Cleveland, though. But they're not going to do it because they're not going to want to take on $7.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland doesn't like...
Jock is available. And it's it'd be cool if we... This would be a sweet time for the term John Heyman has ruined, the mystery team to pop up. Like a team like the Braves or something. Be like, okay. But then it's the Dodgers trading with the Braves. So a lot of moving parts. I don't know. Still a good chance he gets moved, but also Dodgers keep him, though.
And platoon him?
I mean, we keep saying platoon. He played, let me see.
Well, because he hits the righties, and there's more righty pitchers.
Right, but I think mentally, because we're like, okay, teams have, you know, left-hand pitch. He played 149 games last year.
You can't do played in the National League. How many did he start?
So he started, let me see. And by the way, he's still an asset to come off the bench in those games. So there's half points. He started 109, but he had 514 plate appearances.
Okay. I mean, yeah, he sat for lefties.
Yeah. Oh, he cannot touch lefties, which I think they also like. He wasn't good at it, but I think they also poisoned his brain. He only got 50 plate appearances.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was a platoon guy. As soon as the starting lefty was out, he came off the bench. So he's the bigger half of the platoon, but still they were like, nope. That sucks, man. Like, how are you going to let him try?
36 home runs last year.
These platoon guys get made into platoon guys like before they get a chance. I don't know about Jock.
Yeah,
I'm not speaking specifically about him there.
Yeah, yeah.
what you are saying
is Jock is 27 years old. And if he was on a team that wasn't the Dodgers, you're probably right. They tell him to play through that so you can be out there trusted more. But it's part of the NL and it's part of the way this Dodgers team is built. They have someone like Kike Hernandez who they can throw out there. And the Dodgers just look at that like, you know, they're going like Jock Peterson doesn't say he's taking a rest day. It's just he's going to come in and pinch hit in the sixth inning and then play the second half of the game.
His numbers in those splits
are so bad.
Those 50. I mean, it's only 50 plate appearances, but it's a 505 OPS, dude.
Yeah.
It's a 240 on base percentage.
His career is not that much better. His career is a 572 OBS, 375 plate appearances.
Okay, so Jock can't face lefties.
No, that's fine.
So it is fair to label him a platoon guy.
Yes, but you it's not telling the whole story.
With the you have to say a lefty platoon guy is more valuable than a righty platoon guy.
I mean. 36 homers last year.
It's just math. Just
crazy.
Math. Let's move forward from this whole extravaganza.
Sure.
There was another trade. And I haven't wrapped my head around this one yet. The Rays traded Emilio Pagan to the Padres for center fielder Margot Mergot. Is that how you say his name?
Manny Margot.
Manny Margot and someone else from the Padres, right?
Let's get up the whole thing, Jimmer. Emilio Pagan and his pagan ways. God, I'm gonna miss him in the AL.
He was really, really good last year, but really bad against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees, yeah.
Really bad against the Yankees.
So let's see. Emilio Pagan, the 28-year-old from South Kakalaki, for Manny Margot and catcher slash outfield prospect Logan Driscoll.
Logan Driscoll, who's that?
Logan Driscoll.
Well, you know
catcher
what?
Catcher slash outfield prospect tells me they're not too excited about him as a catcher. But that also means he might be able to hit.
It's good. Catcher and right fielder. Yeah, it's kind of an odd combo.
Yeah. How'd that work out for Schwarbo?
Well, all right. This dude played college twice, and then he hasn't even gotten to A-ball, so we're not going to talk about him. But he's
not talking about you, Logan. Good luck, man.
But he's part of the trade. Now, Manny Margot, he's 5'11". Ooh, he's been on the Padres for the last 3 years as like a full-time player. He had 10 games in 2016. He's got a career 6.95 OPS, a career 87 OPS plus, a career on-base percentage of .301. Somehow got Rookie of the Year votes in 2017. His offensive numbers have not been great as of now. And he's got, what, 3 years of arbitration control left? This trade scares me just because I kind of get scared when the Rays make trades like this, because Pagan is a one-inning reliever, man.
Yeah, and so let me go back to Manny Margot. And we do need to preface this with being Yankee fans, we now in recent years live in fear of the Rays making trades, especially with an organization like the Padres that isn't known to be the best run. Manny Margot was a big-time prospect. Pre-2017, he was the number 18 prospect in baseball by Baseball Prospectus. He's got defensive range for days, and basically the question was, how much can he do with the bat? And as you've seen, he hasn't done a ton so far, but that's also been with the Padres, a team known for light hitting. And yeah, just it's what did the Rays see in him that they're saying we can fix that? Or, and maybe we're overthinking it, Jim, is that the Rays love good center field defense with Kiermaier, and now they can just platoon those guys, and they can have the best center field defense over a season ever, pretty much. This is an actual rumor, but I saw a tweet that said, with Kiermaier and Margot, the Rays could have a two outfielder defense, and that's what I'm here for.
There you go.
That's the dream.
The old good defensive, light-hitting platoon in center field.
I mean, hey, two outfielders, five in the infield.
People have been dreaming about that. Oh, my God, imagine if that's what they start doing. They do the five infielder shift more often and go to two outfielders. Oh, fucking Rays. Pagan,
Rays baseball, baby.
Pagan's got 1, 2, 3 years after this year, so 4 years total. So they're, you know, but he's been traded like three times. Hasn't he been on four teams in 4 years?
Yeah, I think this is going to be his fourth team. And I was laughing because it's kind of funny that he has a fun name, Emilio Pagan. He's just like a South Carolina dude. He grew up in South Carolina. He went to school in North Carolina. And yeah, he's currently Seattle, Oakland, Tampa. And Jim, this is kind of the funny part of it. It's full season. So 2017 was full Seattle. 2018 was full Oakland. 2019 full Tampa. And now he heads to San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a need for a need trade? Like center? Because the money and the salaries are kind of the same, right?
I think what it is, I mean, San Diego, they got Gresham in the Milwaukee trade earlier, and I think they want him as their everyday center fielder. You know, they clearly, Pagan had a huge year last year for a reliever. 2.31 ERA, 70 innings pitched, 96 strikeouts. Clearly something ticked. And I mean, even before that, he was solid. I think when I saw people talking about this, and I was saying how I was scared that the Rays were going to unlock Margot or something like that. Cause if they do, I mean, you're unlocking a guy that can rack up WAR easily with the way he plays defense. If he figures out anything offensively, Pagan is a guy in the bullpen. I personally don't see him. he had a breakout year last year. For me, and maybe I'm blinded with some of the Yankees stuff because the Yankees did crush him, he didn't feel like a special kind of reliever. He felt like a reliever that could easily fall back to being the 4-3 guy he was in Oakland. But, hey, I could easily be wrong on that. He ended up saving 20 games for Tampa last year. So the Padres get a high-leverage reliever, and they're clearly semi-punting on Margot.
That slide's... Trent Grisham to center field for them. Famine left, Myers and right.
Yes, I believe so.
And the Padres bullpen, now Yates is the closer, and you got Pomerantz and Pagan as the next two guys, the setup guys. It's not bad.
There's a path there. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rays might make Margot into a good player.
That's the thing. I mean, and it's a big one, and who knows? And maybe we're just overanalyzing the hell out of this, but hey, you know, February 10th, talking baseball, people. I mean, Margot's 25 years old.
I was once.
You were once. I mean, he's a guy that with, his rookie season, he had a 2.5 WAR playing 126 games, and he had a 721 OPS. So if he's a guy that can rack up 2.5 WAR points with a 721 OPS. If the Rays see something in his swing or some adjustment, or have a, you know, some guru somewhere on their team that can make him a 750 OPS guy, I mean, you're looking at a 3 WAR baseball player that you got for a bonus points reliever. Let's be honest. The Rays have so much pitching.
Yeah, I mean, Pagan leaving the Rays bullpen doesn't really hurt their bullpen that much. And that's not a knock on him at all. He had a fantastic season. It's just they have tons of relievers, and they all are fantastic, basically.
Yeah, I kind of want to jump into some of the Rays forums. Those are scary places to be. But yeah, I didn't realize Pagan had 20 saves last year, but I mean, they kind of like thrown out everyone. Alvarado had 7, Castillo had 8. And they had that dude break out last year. I read that guy's name today. I got pissed off. Nick Anderson, dude. Remember that guy?
Yeah, he was dirty.
It's like, oh, we found this guy. He's the best reliever ever. Oops. Like, come on, Rays.
Ugh. Chaz Rowe?
That slider, baby.
What a slider.
Slide piece.
I don't know. Jake, anything else you want to talk about here?
Not really.
Can I clap? Wrote... I think we did some really good talking. Pete Rose.
I sent you my bonus topics. Pete Rose sent a letter to baseball saying, hey, please stop banning me.
Do you know he's a bad guy? So I went on a podcast. What's that?
Not a good guy.
Yeah, I went on a podcast called the Platinum Sombrero, and it's a Braves podcast, and they asked me about Pete Rose, and I'm not sure how we got there or whatever, but they were like, did you know that he had relations with a 16-year-old, and when they said, hey man, that's not cool, the law was like, that's, you can't do that. He said he had a relationship with a 15-year-old. Sorry. He said, I thought she was 16 at the time, which was like trickily the legal age of consent in Ohio. Right. So his excuse was, I thought she was 16. How was I to know she was only 15? Yeah. So now that I know that, I don't give a fuck about Pete Rose at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete never been confused for a good guy, for sure. But yeah, so he wrote his letter. Other things. Charlie Morton regrets not stopping sign stealing. So,
dude, whatever. Like, what's he gonna like? I do not like in Keuchel. Like, what could have Charlie Morton done? He's not gonna go to the public and rout out his team in the middle of a winning season.
You got to go break more TVs.
The fake TVs.
That was Hinch's effort.
That's the fakest shit ever. Whatever.
And yeah, the I mean, I don't think we're going to dive into it. The Hinch interview happened, and that was a blast.
I did a whole breakdown of it on the YouTube channel. It basically plays as Verducci was given some questions from MLB, and Hinch was given the answers from MLB, and they were two guys reading off a script. And none of the questions were pressing, and none of the answers were answers. And that was the piece.
And that's... And that actually shows why we're becoming popular.
Did you see the video I did? It's 18 minutes, so it's kind of long. But
I did not.
So I just kind of went over everything that we found with the buzzers and Hinch and all that, because he was asked specifically, can you deny that you use buzzers? And he didn't. He weaseled around it. We're like, if these players didn't use any electronic buzzing situations, they would be shouting it. They would be like, hey, the commissioner made his report on the banging. We did that. But no fucking way. And all you had was Bregman say, like, no, to the question. Then everyone else has skirted it. So it's so stupid. And, MLB did exactly what I said I thought they would do. All the evidence that was indisputable, the banging, the clips that we posted and everyone on the internet posted, you cannot dispute those. They had the signs, and that is all that the Manfred report charged them with, just what the public already knew. Anything deeper that the public didn't have full indisputable evidence on, they said they didn't find anything. And it's also getting bullshit that they blamed Cora and Beltran and Taubman in the report. Manfred put those three, this is what I said in my video, put those three guys in the report. They're not with the organization anymore. The report is a gift to the Astros. It is the nicest report. So I'm coming more and more on the side that this was bullshit report. I was fine with it for a little bit. It's a gift. Crane got to fire his guys, look like the good guy. The players get completely absolved. They're winners. They don't have to talk about it anymore if they don't want. And all of the blame went to Cora and Beltran and Taubman and player-driven. When the Wall Street Journal just came out, Jared Diamond just came out the whole thing saying this wasn't player driven. They had a team in place, which we've been saying, because I knew that from the start. It's like Matt Goldstein, Taubman, and there was another kid, Hogan or something. They were the department. So
they made a cheating department. They made a cheating department.
And I'm getting so mad at these people that can't tell the difference between what they did and what other teams did, and trying to figure out. Like Andy Martino,
they just don't want to.
Yeah, Andy Martino had a dumb tweet, and I kind of like him. Yeah. I responded to him today, and he responded back, and he was like, "I'm just not good at explaining things." He compared Carlos Delgado writing down the pitches in a notebook, like fastball, slider, slider, fastball, to keep track of at bats. He compared that to people punching in the catcher's fingers, like 2, 3, 1, 4, into an Excel sheet that has a computer algorithm. You punch in like 2, 3, 4, 1, fastball. 3, 2, 1, 3, 3, curveball. And you punch that in, and then a computer algorithm tells you what the next result is going to be, the pattern, because it's...
Yeah, I mean, similar.
It's not... It's so...
But like, just he, not.
Just not, not the all. Same at all. One is comparing pitches. One's comparing catcher's fingers. One you can see, everyone can see, because they're being broadcast. One, only one camera angle has it. People are being obtuse on purpose on this whole situation. Yes. So
yeah, and I mean, I want it on the record that I never used buzzers when I was hitting.
Me neither.
And so I think that's out there now, and I think that's good. And I think, and I will allow any Astros player to use that statement if they want. Easy statement, but they have not. And yeah, go check out the Germ Boy video on that 18 minutes, like he said, because he's an insane person. Jim, only final note I had that was really important was Bruce Bochy tweeted out, SFDC Kyle, period, KC House, rah.
What was the last one?
It's WR capital A.
Yeah, it's good. KC Roadhouse.
KC House.
I think he was at a KC Roadhouse having some barbecue.
Got God, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Dude, so you know what I found? My dad and my mom didn't know, and maybe you don't even know this, that if you hit the side of your phone, it locks it, like turns it black. That. Okay, so my parents both don't know that because I was like, how do you butt dial me so often? Like, I don't butt dial anyone. And I was like, do you hit this button before you put your phone in your pocket? Right. And they both said no. So maybe a PSA to everyone listening, go tell your parents and grandparents about the button on the side of your phone that turns it off before you pocket it. Because, like, butt dialing shouldn't be a thing anymore.
And I don't want this to be a shot at you, but I just want it to be shown to our listeners how, when I say I'm not tech savvy, Jimmy just had to ask if I knew what the lock button was on the iPhone.
I mean, it's a fair question by me.
And no, I it wasn't a shot back at you. It was a fair question.
All right. That's everything?
I think that's everything. I mean, well, it was the MLB essentially retweeting a trade, but hey, baseball's still at it. And yeah, like you said, we're going TPP, team profile and projection, every day. When you hear your team, you have to leave a review. Is that a fair rule?
That's a fair rule. And just tell us what we got wrong, because I'll just say
this. We're going to have so much wrong.
We get new listeners every episode. You know more about your favorite team than Jake or I, and we will never pretend to know more than you if you're a diehard fan. That's why people...
unless you're a jerk. If you're a jerk about it, like...
Yeah, don't be a jerk about it. We're all friends here. Yeah. It's a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jake, I have to bring up the outro music, and then we're going to get out of here. We have a long-ass day ahead of us.
Yeah, baby!
Woo! See you guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.